Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Huge game coming your way tonight. Adelaide taking on the Cats over at the Adelaide Oval. Will Paddy Dangerfield play? The full teams we threw at about 20 past six. We'll keep you across that one. In the words of someone else, by gee, it has been a big week in football. Massive changes at the footy show. Of course, with Damien Barrett here, he will be all over that. And Eddie Maguire will be joining us in about 3 minutes' time. Don Pike from the Adelaide Crows will join us as well. It has been a big, big day in the world of football and media. And I have a look at these guys. Damien Barrett is here, Chris Judd, Nathan Brown, and another fella sitting beside me that I don't recognise, but in a previous life, maybe Luke Darcy.
I think that's probably because of the Mediterranean tan I've got. Howie, maybe you mistook me for someone who's feeling pretty good. I tell you what, I missed you guys. I really did while I was jumping off the back of a super yacht, swimming in the Mediterranean. I think I can't wait to get back to Friday Huddle, catch up with my mate Nate and the judge and see what Damo and Howie have been up to. So it's great to be back with the team.
25 past six, 360 degree. We are going leading team style.
Who are you putting up?
Be put in a corner.
Yep.
And the boys have got questions for you. Just tell me, before we get too far off track, yes or no, did you have your own private three-hatted chef on your boat?
Yes. And before we move on with the 360 degree, it'd be very disappointed if there's anything negative that came my way. Juddy, I think you're better than that.
Positive and negative, Darcy.
Feedback's a gift, Garth.
How long is it you have missed, Darcy? Is it 5 or 6 weeks on the Fridays?
A couple of Fridays I've missed.
It was enough for us to go number one on the ratings without him.
I had a good start to the year. You wait for this back half of the year. I could not be in better shape. I am ready to fire.
Juddy, nice to have you here. You've been a big part of the Friday front bar, the Thursday front bar, whatever you
just
want to call it,
the front bar.
Yep. Do you feel partly responsible for what's happened today?
Oh, look, no, to be honest, I don't celebrate it. I feel like a traffic light, to be honest, and a traffic light doesn't celebrate turning from red to green, just goes out there and does its job. And it was in the calendar, front bar, Thursday night, when the ratings done the job. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that's how I view myself, like that traffic light. Guiding people through the intersections they encounter in life. That's how I feel.
I'd normally be laughing at you, rubbish you trot out on a Friday night, Juddy, but I'm not laughing tonight.
So the judge goes on front bar and that signals the end of the footy show, as you know. Is that,
that's
is
how
that
he
our
sees
take?
It.
Okay.
That is certainly the link he drew when he arrived in here this afternoon. Damo, in all seriousness, how are you? How is everyone at the footy show? How's our good friend Hutch? And we've got to say, everyone's mates with Hutchie in the room, so it's a great positive for Ed, but it's a great negative for Craig.
Spoken to Hutchie a couple of times, and he is as he's always been, the way he presents himself. He's upbeat about what lies ahead, and while you'd think it would have to penetrate through a little bit, I would think it would have to, but he's not going to be projecting that image, I wouldn't have thought. And we're going to try and get him on, whether he wants to come on or whether he wants to do it on his own program tomorrow morning. I'd imagine that would be the case. He's put out a statement saying that, it's a business decision. He could, make that decision himself. And as we all know, and this is not unnecessarily putting a positive spin on it, as we all know, the footy show part of his life is just a very small component to what it's become. He's got more than 100 employees at Croc Media these days, and that does take up his main focus.
You're not human, though, are you, Brownie, if you're not disappointed when you have a public... fall from grace, so that would take the edge off anyone.
Well, considering how big the show is and he's been put in there for a certain amount of time, I don't think anybody's ever been released of their duties mid-year like he is, so it is a bit of a kick in the teeth. You can see where they're going, but Dame, I'd ask you a question. You are a big part of the show. Are you going to be there next year?
I'm assuming so, Brownie. I don't know. I've spoken to people at Channel 9, but obviously when there's a new person coming in and new arrangements around that person coming in, I think everything's unknown. And the fact that as part of the release today, there's going to be a two-week recess of the show, so it won't be seen for a couple of Thursdays. And that's, I think, just to reset and get it all together again. Ed and Beck have had a press conference about 2 hours ago, which I've seen snippets of, so I haven't even seen all that. But, I've spoken to people at Nine, Brownie, and look, I think it's basically all systems go, certainly for the duration of 2017, without Craig there and Eddie in.
Well, the new host of the footy show, Eddie Maguire, joins us on the line now. I believe we've taken him out of a Fox footy production meeting. That's how busy he is. Welcome, Ed. Congratulations.
Go, boys. Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm genuinely jumping out of my skin, to be perfectly honest. It's been such a major part of my life, this, and major part of football. And to get back up and have a chance to have fun on a Thursday night with all the guys and Beck is something that is, you know, I actually have, in the last couple of hours, and it's only been hours that this has all sort of happened, you know, I've actually been a little bit surprised in how excited I am. I can't get the smile off my face, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd be really excited too, Ed, given I was about to break a story for the first time in 8 years this morning. I have sat alongside you for 8 years and I asked a very simple question. I thought I'd get a very simple answer. Let's go back to the hot breakfast this morning, and this was an extraordinary response I got. People keep coming up to me and saying, you're going to go back and host the
audition. There you go. Yeah, well, I mean, that's been for the last 3 years.
So you have any intention of going back and doing
that? I'm at Foxtel. I'm on there tonight. You watch me tonight on Fox Footy.
You want to apologise, Ed? You feel like you,
mate,
you let me down?
Tonight on Fox Footy, mate. No, but seriously, Darcy, I mean, with that being said, I mean, I'll tell you exactly the sequence, if you like. There had been some talk about whether or not I could. And over a number of years now, that has been knocked on the head because of my commitments with Foxtel. And I went up to Sydney yesterday, which you are well aware that I was going up to Sydney. We you know, mentioned that, and talk about the specifics. And Foxtel decided that this is a good idea now, a good idea for both Fox Footy and for Channel 9 and the Footy Show, if that was the way everyone wanted to go. So I had their sort of permission. And then, of course, I came home last night and I was watching the show, the Footy Show, on delay because I got home late and was watching it on the IQ box, on the Fox IQ box. And then my phone started exploding from people going, what the hell's going on with Sam? So after the show today, I was doing other things. I was down at Collingwood, had some meetings, and then my phone was exploding, and there was calls from Channel 9 and basically saying, well, let's do this, and if it's going to happen, we want to make some announcements today. So it took off. I was at another lunch today with the Collingwood Insiders group and you know, ducking in and out, talking to various people from the network. So it all happened, you know, really in a rush today.
Ed, you've got so much on your plate. Every time we turn on the TV or the radio, there you are doing a magnificent job. Why add this to your workload?
Because this one I genuinely love. It's as simple as that. I love my time in the Footy Show. Changed my life. It's still, to me, the defining show that I've ever done. I have a genuine love for it. I have a genuine love for its position in football. You know, I look around all the people hosting, you know, all the people that you're sitting alongside, the people I'm sitting alongside here at Fox Footy tonight. They all came through the Footy Show. And I think it was a change of the whole philosophy of football, where the footballers became stars again rather than just pawns in the game. And, you know, we see the collective bargaining agreement and the riches that have come through now. And, you know, I think the Footy Show played a great role in that. And, you know, I have a real belief, and I was probably inspired, and my mind probably turned, to be perfectly honest, at Lou Richard's funeral of all places, listening to the great stories and watching the highlights and writing the eulogy about Lou and listening to Ron Joseph and all the people there and looking around the room and thinking just how much fun footy is. And Darce will know that we've been talking about this in recent times off air, but as we sit on the hot breakfast, there's too many shows at the moment, too many people turning football into an Australian tax office audit. And what I want to get back to is the excitement of football, to let the personalities of these young superstars coming through. I'm sick of hearing that they're overpaid and that they're, you know, they're all bad blokes and on drugs and doing these things. They're not. They're some of the most impressive individuals you'll ever meet. And I want that to come through. I want that connection back to the football audience. I want people on a Thursday night to not hear all the time that they're, you know, that their wife's ugly. That's the way it feels sometimes. It's something you love that is no good, that everyone should be sacked and everyone's a crook and everyone's a dud and everyone's an idiot. I want to get back to turning on and hoping you know somebody from your side's on there and the fun that comes through with it. You know, break the stories that are coming. You know, Damien Barrett is going to be, you know, hopefully, not hopefully, I hope he stays with us, but it's a major part of the show. Beck Madden's there. Hutchie's business, Croc Media, want them to be a big part of it. I want to just pull all the good things together again and hopefully be the ringmaster of the show that captures the imagination. I've got a boy who's 16 and a boy 14. They never can't remember me ever being on the Footy Show. So I'm starting from scratch again, hopefully with the old sensitivities and the values of the Footy Show, but with a 21st century sensitivity and sensibility about it all. And I'm genuinely excited, and I hope that we're going to deliver back to the people the Footy Show that they've known and loved. Not because the Footy Show itself is off at the moment, but I just think that you know, I think it's become a little bit insular, the whole footy world, and particularly the media. I said that last Friday and copped a bit of a belting as a result of it. Well, that's all right. That's the way they respond. We're going to respond with laughter, fun, and the great things of footy. So that's where we're going to be from August 10.
Did Sam act the way he acted last night, knowing today was either coming today or at some stage? And part of that question is, I think you used the term unleash Sam or words to that effect. What is it you want Sam to do?
I want Sam to be Sam Newman. I want him to be John Newman. I want him to be this amazing character that he is, highly intelligent. I want him to be the bon vivant that he has been over the years. He just seems angry to me at the moment, not just because of, you know, he feels, I think, that there has been restrictions applied on him. Now, what he wanted to do last night, there would have been a restriction put on him if I was the host last night. I would have said, no, I don't think we should do that, but we would workshop it through. And I just think that Sam has been, he's such a lightning rod, but people don't realise, for all his I don't give a stuff, he's a highly intelligent, sensitive bloke. And, you know, he wants to give. He loves the game of football. You know, he has some misgivings about the way it's played, but that doesn't mean that he hasn't got some very pertinent points. And that's what I want him to be back. I want him to go on air and just feel relaxed. And if he transgresses, well, you know, I'll jump all over him and Beck will jump all over him. But, you know, that doesn't mean people can have differing opinions. I mean, there's people that I have who are great friends in life that I have completely different political, religious, philosophical, economical points of view. That doesn't mean we don't have common ground and we can't debate and express and understand each other's feelings. And I think that's what's happened in footy. It's become hero and zero in the media. No, there's a lot of middle ground that people have. So I want Sam to be Sam. I want Beck to come out and do what she does. She's one of the hottest talents in Australian TV at the moment, with the success of Ninja. And I want you to come out, Damien, and be the newsbreaker that you are. I want the players to be front and square. I want the cameras pointing at the players. I want to hear from them. I want to hear from the gladiators, the man in the arena. And I want to show that Express is where we are in 2017 with the wonderful influx of women into the game, and not look at that as we've got women in the game, there's a problem, there should be more. No, celebrate the fact that where we've come from and where we are today, and what this game has brought to so many people. I want people to love the game, and I want them to love it through the footy show.
Ed, if you can do all that, it is going to be a brilliant show. We appreciate your time. We know you're a busy man, and once again, congratulations on the new role.
Good on you, guys. I really appreciate it. And, you know, my colleague Mickey Malloy is doing the front bar. And, you know what? That's been great because that's inspired where we hopefully go with the show. And now we've got when we first started the footy show, it was the first time ever a sports show worked in prime time. And now we've got a couple of shows that people can have a good look at, and we'll be bouncing off each other. We'll be competitive, and it's going to be a really good atmosphere. Two really good shows for people to choose from.
Eddie McGuire, well, the new host of The Footy Show.
Well done, Ed.
Oh, by gee.
He's up and about.
Well, I took out of that demo that you've still got a job, so you look pretty happy about things.
Big change does strange things to Howie, to some people, Howie. And yeah. Damo, he seems a bit refreshed after that. Yeah. Have a look at the pants he's got on tonight. Yeah. He's got some pattern on his bone pants, which is just very, very un-Damien Barrett-like. It's a little bit of head wobble about it.
We're going out later, Brownie.
It's been a stressful day for Damo. I think he put the wrong pants on. That's understandable.
Well, it has been a stressful day. My youngest son broke his arm thus, so he'd be going on.
Yeah. We wish him all the best.
I think there is some news coming through at the moment as far as what is happening in Adelaide with some big names, Damien Barrett, one of them Paddy Dangerfield, the other one Rory Sloane.
It is big news. Dangerfield and Sloane will both play.
They're both in.
Both playing tonight.
Wow.
Wow. By gee, so Chris Scott said he thought Paddy was about a 40-60 chance, but...
I reckon Dangerfield was always going to play. The Sloane one is amazing for me with where we're at with concussion at the moment. To be in the state he was last week and to be playing, obviously he's passed all the tests, but that was the surprising one. I thought that Sloane wouldn't play and Dangerfield would.
Yeah, I thought Dangerfield was an outside chance, Brownie. I'm surprised. I think the early mail was that he was a bit more injured than perhaps you thought.
I thought there was enough theatre around it. I felt on the back of what Kane Corns had said, and I'm not saying he was putting it on because he was clearly sore, but when you go to Adelaide on a Wednesday for a Friday night game, you're serious about trying to get yourself right. And I just felt that he, until he because he did that, that he really was going to be giving himself every single opportunity to do it.
The question is, does he play forward as well, out of the goal square? That'd be exciting tonight.
Dangerfield and Sloan both named. A lot more news getting around. Stick around, because in about 4 minutes' time, leading teams, Das is going to face some pretty serious questions from the boys. Nick Riewoldt, that's been a story that's interested me this week, Damien, a champion of that club, and there seems to be a bit of debate as to whether he'll be playing next season or not.
The debate's gone on all year, hasn't it, Howie? And the way I've read it, and others have too, I'm not saying this is exclusive to the Friday Huddle, but I felt that he's always up against it, just because the club had always wanted to park the entire conversation around his future to beyond the last game of the year, be that a round 23 game or a couple of finals into the series. But the reporting during the week in The Age that there was an ultimatum, again, not saying the report was wrong, but I spoke to his management yesterday. They sought to clear that up. There is no ultimatum, according to them. And the quote that Tom Pretorio provided last night, Jody, on the Footy Show, was that if it's over, it's over. And to me, that was a real commitment and undertaking that it's not going to head down the Brent Harvey path of what happened last year with his departure from North Melbourne, that if it indeed it is the wrong decision in Nick Riewoldt's eyes, he's going to cop it, at least publicly, in a way that differs to what happened with North and Brent Harvey.
I don't think there's anything unusual when you get to that age for the club and sometimes a player to want to wait till the end of the year to actually sign the contract. But maybe reading between the lines when Matt Finnis was interviewed yesterday, you know, judging from body language and the way he spoke, that sort of didn't give me the feeling that they were more likely to sign him up than maybe let him go. Is that how you interpreted it?
Yeah, I did too. And those conversations have been going back and forth between Nick and the officials, and also Nick's management and officials. So there's been an understanding. I feel that's where it's there. But you're right. I mean, Matt Finnis did make those comments yesterday, and it was far from committal about the future.
I'm of the opinion, Damo, that they're a unique bracket of players that have got that big a legacy at one club. They get the opportunity to choose their own departure, and there's only a handful of the judge here in that bracket, of course. And I think Nick Riewoldt's in that bracket. He's declared absolutely his preference is to play on.
Yes.
Everyone who watches football would say that they feel as though he's absolutely capable of doing that. To take that away from him, if that is what it ends up being, I think, given who he is and what he's done at that club, Jody, I think that's a big call for St Kilda.
Yeah, it is. And it's just that mental side of it that you can't go past. I mean, you look at Roger Federer. I thought there was no chance that he could ever win another Grand Slam, but he really believed internally that he still had it in him. And look what he's been able to do this year. If Nick Riewoldt genuinely thinks he can make a contribution next year, I think you'd be a very brave man to back against him.
If St Kilda are going to be as good as what we think they're going to be in the next 18 months, and we saw that against Richmond last week, you'd want Nick Riewoldt playing in that forward line, because he's a man who can kick 50 goals, he can go and play on the wing, and he can run an opponent ragged all night. I agree with you, Das. I'd be staggered if they were going to let him go, because his form, apart from a couple of down games, and who doesn't have a down game every now and again, I think his consistency is a little bit below where it has been, but I think he should play on.
All right, Das, I want to distance myself from this next little segment, but the boys have been cooking it up all week. Now, for those that aren't aware, in the last 15 years in football, something has become involved called leading teams, where the playing group gets around and discusses with individuals what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. Famously, Brisbane with Acker, Robbie Warnock in your days at the Eagles. I think Richo copped it a little bit in your time at the Tigers. So, unfortunately, Das,
is it unusual to tackle the captain? Is that
well, I think that's part of the issue, because
self-appointed.
Yeah, I think that's probably your Johnny statement as real. That's one of the reasons why. So you took 4 weeks off, 5 weeks off in the middle of the footy season. Now, Luke,
let's be honest here. Let's deal in facts.
Okay, how long did you take
three.
Off?
Two and a half.
Right, that's right. Three weeks. When did you arrive back in the country?
I arrived back.
Don't need to ask him questions.
Okay. All right. No, you don't get to respond to anything. You have to go and sit in the chair in the corner.
Off mic.
Sit in the chair in the corner. You can respond.
Get over there,
at the
pencil
end.
Neck.
There you go. You sit over there. Nath, this is your department. So this is 360 degree feedback for you, Dash. You can't respond. Nath, take it away.
Well, it's a team effort. It's a team area, Triple M. We're number one in the ratings. We played at the Bulldogs together. It was a team. It's no wonder we didn't play in a premiership together with the sort of selfishness that I've seen in the last 3 weeks. You take 3 weeks off, you get into the country to some sort of homecoming ceremony put together for your family. It's unbelievable. But I find out that you are in the country on Friday Night Football for Triple M, and you choose not to go on air.
You don't get a voice to go on air.
Couldn't go on air Friday night, but then was able to go TV Saturday night. Wanted to get his head on the TV.
Surely poor old Swatter.
I can understand how Swatter got it mixed up. He didn't turn up thinking that the man was back in the country. They had a press conference about Darce entering the country again, and all of a sudden Swatter's in the paper for all the wrong reasons, and it's Luke Darcy's fault.
Yeah, well, I find it extraordinary too, because how many times we all of us get told last year that I chose Bevo as coach of the Bulldogs, and well done, Darce. We've managed to get it out publicly. Yes, you chose Bevo, and well done, because you, as much as Bevo, got that club last year to its groundbreaking flag. Well done. A bit like the Bulldogs this year, though. Not sure you've backed it up. and also, Darce, I need to produce a little exclusive here for the Friday Huddle. Because you've been able to tell people you did take a break of your own volition, a 3.5-week break of your own volition. I think we need to reveal the fact that station management managed you out.
Spell time.
Managed out.
Rested.
So are you saying, Damien, that he claimed he was going on holiday, but apparently he was said, just have a bit of a spell. You're a bit off the boil.
They actually said take 2 weeks off, and he took three. But
well, there you go.
Almost Hutchie style.
That is exclusive. All right, Juddy, you might as well continue in this.
Well,
mode.
I'd just like
Luke.
To remind you.
This will be positive.
We're not doing this to hurt or to injure. We're doing this to make you better. Just like the rest of us. And the two things that stand out to me, I mean, Craig Ellis hadn't heard from the Duke for 5 years until he gets an offer for $500 million from L Capital for his underwear company. Then all of the Duke's texting him, let's put the Bang Brothers back together. Yeah, getting a boat. But the big one for me, which made me highly uncomfortable, and I'm glad we get to wear this now, was when Elise Grundy came in the box. a man that allegedly doesn't know how to work Instagram. He seemed to be able to find the summer months very, very easily.
It was very sleazy.
And the hair sniffing. Yeah, you know, I thought we were past that. I mean, you want to carry on like that, go work at the AFL, Duke. That's not the sort of organisation we're setting up here.
And I'll finish off, Darce. I'll finish off. We've moved with the times. The AFL has moved with the times. We've moved with the times with so many things in our community. You are still stuck in the old days with Gaz and Jim and Spud and Sheep with your bottom lip on the ground. You want to leave early. I've got to go and do this rubbish, or I'm going to have a 3-week holiday. I'm going to go over the Mediterranean. Mate, it's a new age. And if you don't want to get, if like Grant Thomas used to say, you're either on the bus or you're in front of the bus. Right now, you're in front of the bus.
All right, Darce. All right, you can have a little bit of, only a short bit of microphone time now.
Is that as good as you flogs could be? Seriously.
3 weeks.
Weeks to think about
didn't want to partake in that, Howie.
Anything from you, Howie?
No. I love you. Surely, you were on Saturday Night Football last week. Yeah. Surely you didn't arrive back and could have been on the Friday Huddle last week.
Yeah, I have got one regret.
Yeah.
One great regret.
Yeah.
That it didn't take 5 weeks. That is the only thing that let me down. Mate, I wasn't rostered on last week. I came back, not on the roster. What can you do?
Well, poor old Schwartz had to cop it.
Juddy
had to do special comments on his own. And we know that after 6:40, Judge Juddy, he doesn't speak for another half an hour.
No, Judge Juddy is next. And
back,
to be honest.
Tweet in your support of me if you feel like it.
Yeah, Judge got put on the mat while you were away, but he somehow got his career up and running again. So Judge Juddy is next. Just updating those that have just jumped in their car. The news as far as teams go from Adelaide?
Yeah, both Dangerfield and Sloan picked to play in this game, which will start in about 1 hour and 15 minutes' time. Dangerfield with the badly damaged foot, Sloan coming off their heavy concussion of last week.
Seems to be some good news out of the GWS with Brett Deledio finally.
Finally, and Coniglio also will be playing, as Deledio will be, for the Neefel side of the GWS team over the weekend. It's significant ins. We know Coniglio had an injury early in the season, came back for a little bit and didn't last long, and then re-injured himself, and Deledio has not been seen since late last year as the Tigers. It's significant because if you can get probably maybe one, maybe two into his system, he's a sort of bloke, isn't he, guys, who keeps himself so fit without the match conditioning, but he's going to be right to go.
He'll be able to pick it up really quickly.
Provided the calves, and it is both legs, can stand up to what they're going to go through tomorrow.
There's some more good news out of GW this week relating to the coach. Your mate, I think Leon Cameron, might have inked a new deal, Damo, which is good news for the stability of that footy club.
End of 2020, as is also the case with the footy department boss there, Wayne Campbell. So they're just all about the stability now, which is a good move given there's going to be the expected movements of at least one, maybe two clubs this year, and we don't know the domino effect that that may have as well. So they just wanted to take him out of the equation, and it's a clearly an endorsement for him from someone who's a sound a business mind in Tony Shepherd, who runs that footy club, clearly wanting to drive that decision alongside David Matthews as the CEO.
Footy World's off GWS at the moment, Brownie and Jaddy, aren't they? Big time. And then we know the cycles happen. You have a couple of weeks where you may be not playing at your best, but we're pretty quick to forget just what's available. And I still get the feeling if that group time it right, their absolute best, I still think it's better than anyone. Whether or not they're good enough to do it when it counts is the question.
Got a lot of injuries at the moment, too. They're only picking from 27, I think. So to be second on the ladder where they are, I think they're overachieving for what they've been able to put out on the park. They haven't had a full team all year. And I guess the challenge for Leon is getting a group of stars to play and do it the way he wants.
Concussion has been a dominant storyline of 2017, as we know, and we learnt during the week that Cade Kolodziejczyk from the Gold Coast Suns is now out for the year with concussion symptoms, and the club's taken the conservative approach to that. He got a really heavy knock midway through last year, did come back and play a fair bit of footy beyond that point, but copped another one in round 13 this year and then another knock at training, and they've now taken him out of the equation. We still don't know when Paddy McCartan returns, if he returns this year. And obviously, Ben Griffiths is currently going through the process of re-emerging through the VFL. So, yeah, interesting tonight that Rorich Sloan is an inclusion in that team to play for the Crows against Geelong. While, yeah, as we said, the extreme end of that is Cade Kolodziejczyk having his season ended by the medical reports around his issues.
It's a much better way to do it, though, isn't it? Care and responsibility of your players, because we probably didn't have the data we did even 10 years ago, what we have now. And obviously that NFL Brain Bank documentary was a real eye-opener, particularly for the AFL and the AFL doctors in terms of legalities and all that sort of stuff. So I remember playing a game where I got hit by Fev playing against Carlton, and I can't remember playing the whole entire second half. So I don't think that sort of stuff happens anymore.
Yeah, I just worry because as recently as 3 or 4 years ago, we're always told by whoever works in the AFL system that it is world's best practice. So what we were doing 3 or 4 years ago was world's best practice according to those people at that time. Now there's a new benchmark for world's best practice, and there's not a lot of difference between the time of what I'm referring to the now. So there's some players, as you say, Brownie, who were treated very differently. And look, I'm surprised Sloan is playing on the back of the commentary made by his captain, admission of his captain, that Rory Sloan last week thought that one of the trainers was Bernie Vince. That clearly says the man was not in a good condition. And again, whenever you venture into this space as a non-medico, which I clearly am, a non-medico, they don't like it. But look, we cover the industry the way we do, and The difference now, Juddy, between what we how we deal with players as a rule to what we used to is stark.
It is, but one of the interesting things about concussion is it doesn't always correlate with how serious or how long you've been knocked out for. Sometimes it does, but sometimes blokes can get delayed onset concussion when they feel crook for a couple of weeks, even though it hasn't been nearly as big a hit as those enormous ones where they're lying unconscious for a couple of seconds. So it is a complicated one, but I generally do back the medical staff in, but I do note that what's world best practice today will be different in 5 years' time.
Yep. No, it's another blow for the Gold Coast. Gazza is out again this week with a hamstring. With the coach just doing everything he can to keep his job, and he's getting players taken away from left, right and centre through injury. He's had a pretty tough run while he's been up there, Rocket, with injury.
He has. It's been the one thing they haven't been able to control, and that was the stated aim once he got there with the new staff in that part of the operations to rectify what had to that point already been a pretty dismal reading, and it hasn't got any better at all.
We are talking about the game between the Crows and the Cats, and the coach of the Adelaide Crows, Don Pike, not too far away. There's been so much happening in footy, we haven't actually had a chance to even have a chat about this game yet, Darce. We get top of the table. Geelong have got a fantastic recent record against Adelaide. It's just a beauty on Friday night footy.
Yeah, you couldn't hope for a better game than tonight. The Cats, as you said, have won the last few encounters, which doesn't mean a whole amount. I'm going to ask this of Don Pike when we get him in a minute. I almost feel like Adelaide are underappreciated for me, Juddy, what Don Pike's been able to do in his time there. Remember, it took over a side that I don't think people thought had the depth. They lost Paddy Dangerfield, the best player in the competition. I think what they have done, they were challenged after about round six and people put a bit of time in them. I think they've come through that a better side. And as I sit here now, I think they are the most likely side to win it this year.
I think so too. Yeah, and I think that's a fair call. They lost Phil Walsh halfway through the season before Don Pike took over, and everything that club's been through, for them to be first on the ladder is probably an underappreciated story.
Yeah, great. And I think the Premier could come out of Adelaide either side, because I think Port Adelaide are starting to put together a list and they've got something to kick to. And if they finish top four along with Adelaide, they could both get through to a prelim. I think both Adelaide sides are dangerous.
Where do we sit on the Cats?
The Cats, as you said, got a really good record. Dangerfield won that game for them last week. Without Dangerfield, they don't beat Hawthorn again last week. So much relies on Dangerfield and Selwood. Equal parts. I thought Dangerfield was extraordinary last week. If they don't fire, I can't see them beating Adelaide tonight, which is no big statement.
Dash, you've got a little bit of paper there that you've been pushing under my nose for the last 45 minutes.
It's been a big, big day today for a lot of people, and waiting for Don Pike. So I just thought I'd have a look at this. A copy of Inside Sport was handed to me, and I read this on the plane on the way back, and it's a double-page spread of one Damien Barrett.
Oh.
It looks like he's bought some new glasses, Juddy, you'll see, for the photo shoot. Very, very happy. And there is a lot of, as we say here, a lot of me.
Inside Sport?
Me.
I'm sure it's not Inside Sport.
Though. Well, hair thickening cream as well. That hair looks a lot thicker than you, Finasteride.
A lot of the quotes.
Media Week it's from.
This is Damo
Media Week
talking about him and his own style. I will prod, I will probe, I ask questions, maybe deliberately to annoy people with an opinion, to get others to expand on certain things. I don't like it when someone who hasn't played the game gets told, "What would you know?" says Damo, amongst another whole array of extraordinary quotes. But the thing that has jumped out at me, Nate, and this will interest you as well. This is a man who describes himself as the hardest working person in media in the article, and he goes through Barrett's working week. Starts on a Monday with access all areas.
Your manager moved you on.
That's a raw one, that one, Damo. With Matthew Lloyd and Gary Lyon, it says, from Footy Classified, he jumps into a meeting and then occasionally appears when he fills in. Then he does a segment on Triple M Drive. That's Monday. Fox Footy Show meeting on Tuesday. AFL.com, he writes a column on Tuesday. Wednesday, he records the Sounding Board podcast.
Where are you going with this,
Thursday.
People can read it if they want.
It's a big show on the AFL Footy Show, which is massive. Then he
let him finish.
On Saturday, I catch up with the A-team on Triple M Football. James
Brayshaw.
I see
that, did I? Yeah.
Brian Taylor, I can give you a copy if you like. Wayne Carey, Sunday's 9 Sunday Footy Show. Home to prepare that week is Damo's favourite dish that he does on a Sunday night. On Friday, this is where we rate a mention in his life, Juddy. We mentioned to know. Another column for AFL.com.au. Croc Media program radio appearance with a tongue-in-cheek look at footy news. Triple M footy pre-match on a Friday night. No mention.
That's it.
Like the ugly red-headed sister we are.
We are number one.
Most of what you just read out there, I don't think I actually said there, Dust, but when I drive around town, it's always just join the boys on Friday night with Judd and Dust. So I'm not, are we part of it, Brownie?
Don't take the pressure off yourself, Damo. You need to explain what's going on in this article.
He's dropped every name in his life and left the Friday huddle completely off a double-page spread where there's more.
I think it's an oversight by James Manning who put that together, Dust.
It hurts.
Is it a good read, Dust?
More interested in the fact in the same article there's an ad for Triple M Footy on a Saturday. This is going to massive. So you got JB, Duck, BT, Nez, and Damo, and Ash Chua, and I don't rate a mention in the photo.
Can you handle the pressure?
You can't handle the pressure!
We don't think the boys can.
It's got me under pressure.
Time for the pressure test.
Now we're giving away tickets to Medallion Club. Beautiful there. Three mates and yourself can head along next weekend and be in the running for two tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand. I find that a little bit hurtful, Damien, that didn't mention us at all on a Friday night.
Sorry, I think
I thought we had a team going.
No,
I thought
we
were heading in the right direction. The numbers are positive.
We're very positive.
Okay.
I think I did. I think I was just subbed out, I think.
Oh, subbed out. Always. It's the subs. All right, Josh is on the line from Adelaide.
How's it, fellas?
G'day, Josh. You got any pets?
Any pets? No, none.
All right. My favourite bit of the quiz is when Juddy, Mr. Socially Awkward, does a little bit of a conversation warm-up. And if that's what we're going to get tonight at dinner, it could be a real rough night, Brownie. All right. You ready to go, Joshy?
Yep, all ready.
Okay, Joshy. 8 players have kicked 40 or more goals this season. Name 5 of them. Go.
Joe Danaher.
Yep.
Ronnie Franklin.
Yep.
Donny Patton. Yep. Carter Dixon,
No, sorry. Good effort, Joshy, but not fortunate enough to get the win there. Zane is on the line from Highton.
Gentlemen, Damo.
G'day, Zane. How's your night going?
Very well, thanks, mate.
Gentleman and Damo.
Feeling confident?
No.
Oh, very good.
Bad just luck. Juddy really warming them up as they line up to have a crack.
Did you hear all right. He said gentleman
yeah,
and Damo.
I did. I thought that was
Zane laughed at his own gag, too.
Was that deliberate from you, Zane?
Yeah, I've been on hold for a little while, so yeah.
Got to enjoy your own work, Zane. I like it. Just like OJ.
On the pops,
Zane. Real funny stuff.
Friday night, Zane. Come on. Spliffs. All right, Zane. 8 players have kicked 40 or more this season. Name 5 of those players, Zane.
Eddie Betts, Buddy, Ben Brown, Jeremy Cameron. Who else we got? Tex, has he done one? Eddie Betts, no. Buddy.
Yes, Eddie. Yes, you've got enough. Well done to you, Zane. Damien's giving you the thumbs up, so congratulations. You're up against Dar, so you don't actually have the tickets in the bag yet. Our man, who has been
cheated.
Having his own trip around the Mediterranean on a boat with a 3-star Michelin chef cooking for him, said he's been tuned in, said he's been listening to everything in football, so we'll soon find out. Hello, Luke, nice to see you back again.
Good to be back again.
All right, the pressure test. Here we go, Big Daddy. You're up against Zane, who's a sort of quite a cheeky character from Highton. 8 players have kicked 40 or more goals this season, Dars. Name 5 of them.
Jack Riewoldt.
Yep.
Buddy Franklin.
Yep.
Eddie Betts.
Yep.
Josh Kennedy. Jeremy Cameron.
Ooh. Not Josh Kennedy.
Tex Walker.
You don't only get one crack at this, mate. So that means,
and
Zane,
most of you got off the sheet that you were looking at. Howie, hide the sheet, man.
Zane, you're a winner.
Thanks, boys.
No worries, Zane. Well done, you Zane. And Mates Medallion Club next weekend, and then tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. You'll be in the running for those.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Pencil Head.
What's the rest of your night hold, Zane?
Just got a few boys watching the footy tonight. We're down in Geelong, so go Cats.
Did he just drop a pencil head on me?
Yeah, he did.
Good luck getting your prize,
me.
Good luck with that. No 40 goals for Josh Kennedy?
No, he's been out for about 6 weeks.
He's been out for 6 weeks. The amount of time you spent away for those 6 weeks. On the boundary is our man, Rhett Bigland. Good evening, Biggles. How are you?
Good evening, Harry. Good evening, everyone. Yes, the coach, the Adelaide Crows, joins us. Good luck tonight, Pikey. Alex Keith gets a run. Been on the whiteboard for a little bit of time. Obviously a big bash star and former rookie. How's he going to pan out?
Yeah, look, it's exciting for Alex. Obviously, he's come off a cricket background, and having played as a junior, he was a high-quality junior. He's sort of taken a little bit of time to just adapt back into the game, but gets his chance tonight, and exciting night for him.
Hey, Don, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. Ahead of a massive game, 1v2. We're just saying before, we feel like your team and even you are underappreciated in lots of ways. Since you've come to the club, you've played finals, you've been on top of the ladder for a record amount of time in the Crows' history. And the press sometimes doesn't seem to reflect just what an incredible time it's been. Do you feel a bit of that?
Oh, not really. I mean, we're in the performance business. We understand that we're about trying to win games of footy, and tonight's no different. It's a great opportunity for our guys. You know, it's a 1v2 clash at home. And so it's exciting for us to be able to take that on. But don't spend too much time worrying about whether we're appreciated or not.
Hey, Don, the Cats have had a clear path of how they play Adelaide over the last couple of years. They've always had a number behind the footy as a quarterback to not allow that ball to get over the back. They've probably beat you at the contested footy the last couple of years. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, look, I think that's a fair summation. I mean, our contested numbers against them in the time I've been at the footy club just really haven't stacked up in the games we've played. And, you know, that's the cornerstone of most sides' game is their ability to win their share of the contest. And we haven't been able to do that consistently against them. So, that's where it'll start tonight. And, the contest and our ability to get pressure on the ball is going to be important. And, the rest of it sort of flows from there.
Don, Paddy Dangerfield had an incredible game last weekend. Do you plan for him to be forward in the midfield, or what are you expecting from him tonight?
Oh, we plan for him to be in both. I mean, obviously he had a great game last week as a forward. Now, whether they see him as a forward tonight or a mid, that's really for them to work out. We've spoken about if he plays forward as well and what our plans are there, and that's so we'll cover both options or eventualities.
And with that lever tonight, Don, obviously others have to step up around him and Keith coming in for him. Do you expect him to be out for too long?
No, look, he was on a really minor end, and with a 6-day break, it was just a little bit tight to try and get him back up. So we're very, very hopeful that he'll be right for Collingwood, which is in 9 days' time. So we're working towards that.
And just quickly, Don, the process around Rory Sloane, I'm assuming that's a 100% medical decision. Was it a touch and go, or were you pretty confident early on that he was going to get up?
No, we were pretty confident early on. He came out of last weekend, the knock on Saturday night, and even as early as Sunday morning, he presented really well. So, we've been really confident. The real benefit is we're able to get a full training session into him on on Wednesday. So, you know, it was great to be able to do that, and he felt really comfortable himself and passed all the tests. So he's ready to go.
And Don, just before we let you go, the man holding the microphone to your left there, have you ever seen a man wear as many rings on one hand as what Rhett Biglands does?
I'll just see him have a look here. He's got a few on there, hasn't he? Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure they all signify something for Rhett.
It wouldn't have happened when he was coaching me, that's for sure.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Adelaide Crows tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
I tell you what, we mentioned Alex Keith, and we've just got royalty on the line here, a man that has played Test cricket for Australia, who played with Alex Keith. Just to give us an idea what the young man is all about, I welcome to the Friday Huddle, Peter Siddle. G'day, Sids.
How you going, boys?
Great to speak to you, Alex Keith. Tell us firstly about him as a cricketer when he first came down into the Bush Rangers setup.
Yeah, what a superstar. It's very happy for him to be succeeding tonight and finally pulling on the Guernsey. But no, he was one of the best when he came down. He obviously, chose cricket early on in his career and went down that route and did pretty well. Didn't get to where he wanted to, so went back to footy. But no, mate, he's a hard worker, and it's no surprise that he's finally getting that opportunity to debut now, because, he worked his backside off preparing for cricket, so I can't imagine he'd be doing anything different over in Adelaide.
Hey, Sid, it's great to have you on the Friday Huddle, and I'm a little bit relieved, I must admit, for Mark Howard, who, when the show started, he said, oh, I've got great contacts. Ricky Ponting's a good mate, and Gilly's one of my really good mates.
Sid Richards, I'll get him out.
I'll be able to get all the big name cricketers.
Junior, KP.
Finally, yes, Sid, someone has returned his call.
Thank
you, Sid. We really appreciate it, mate.
Hey, mate, I've always been from 10 to 20 with Howie. I've never been in the top 10 with him, so I know where I stand. I think it took him about 10 episodes to get me on Howie Games as well.
Yeah.
Which, but I won't hold against him.
It is KP, isn't it, Peter? Who is his favourite, isn't it? KP.
Oh, KP loves KP.
KP.
KP is his favourite.
Yeah, all right, Sids. And it is a very nice edition of the Howie Games with you, and the relaunch is on Monday, but that's a completely different story. And
Sids, that's right. I'll get it out there for you, wouldn't I?
That's the way. Sids was at the Triple M Ashes launch today, so very nice to have him down there, and Triple M will be covering the cricket. But we're here to talk footy, Nate Brown.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Alex Keith. What can we expect from him tonight out in the footy field, judging by what you've seen? Is he an aggressive young man?
Nah, he's not super aggressive, but what's exciting, I think, is how he moves to such a big fella. I think, you know, he's got long length and stuff, and I think that's the exciting thing about it. He can move around the field quite freely, but can what I've seen in the highlights over in Adelaide is he can take a nice grab as well. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him play because, yeah, like I said, he did work his backside off to become a professional cricketer, and he played about 25 games for Victoria across the form. So, I'm excited for him to be running around, and you know he's highly touted before he got chose cricket. So I'm looking forward to watching him run around the footy field.
When he made the decision to go back to footy, Peter, can you recall your reaction to it? Did you think he was going to be really up against it to actually achieve what he's achieved tonight?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, yeah, he missed out on a contract with cricket and decided to go over to South Australia and try and pursue the cricket a little bit. But with the opportunity to work with Adelaide in a small little deal. And, it must have all went well in that first little bit because they obviously did see something early on that, you know, that they might be able to work with. And, yeah, but I think the turnaround, it has happened pretty quickly from that time when he did finally gave up cricket over in Adelaide to now to be able to, you know, be out of the game for 5 years and, turn it all around and get back into the footy mould and the footy lifestyle. And, here he is tonight getting his opportunity in a team that's, one of the top contenders.
For Kotai, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. Kotai, the right gear when you need it. We're speaking to Peter Siddle about his former teammate Alex Keith, who is playing for the Crows tonight on debut. I didn't like to bring this up, but as I said, was at the Triple M launch today. And I did notice that Sids was getting a couple of bread rolls, putting them in his pocket. He got a steak, and for someone else, obviously it's not him, a couple of bananas, because he's not getting paid at the moment. So I don't think there's much food at home. Sids, how are you going without getting paid, and what's going on with the cricketers?
No, it's all going okay. I'm actually one of the ones that's still contracted. I had a pre-existing Victorian deal, so I'm one of the 70 out of the 300 that is contracted. But, it's tough. You know, I've been around some of the my younger teammates, the rookies and stuff like that, who don't know where they stand and when it's gonna happen. So it has been hard, but you know it's all for a good cause in the long run, and we're just looking for cricket to be around for a long time, and with that longevity that we want, we've got to get to the things right now. And I think that'll happen in the due course, and hopefully sooner rather than later. So some of these boys can get back into worrying about cricket and not worrying too much about stealing bread rolls.
Good on you, Sids. Appreciate your time. Always nice to speak to you. And hopefully we see you playing in the upcoming Ashes. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, boys. All the best. And come on, Keithy.
Good on you, Sids. Great to have you. I had a little bit to do with Alex Keith as a 17-year-old brownie at the AIS. And he can seriously go. As a 17-year-old, beautiful athlete, 197 centimetre, and a bit of a surprise that he chose cricket at the time, I suppose, with the football hat on. But Gold Coast was so impressed, they used him as one of their 17-year-old selections. Having been told by him directly he would not play for them, they chose him anyway, thinking they could keep him on the list in 12 months and convince him. So this is a great story. I'm looking forward to seeing this unfold tonight.
Yeah, it's a rarity. Who would have been the last bloke to play cricket and footy?
Craig Bradley?
Craig Bradley did, and he played for two states in cricket. He played for Victoria and South Australia.
Did Nick Jewell?
Nick Jewell played both. I think it is Nick Jewell, just because he's the most, that I can recall, recent one to do so.
There's a couple of draftees this year who are, Sutherland's sons picked cricket, and there's another one, Murphy, who I think looks like he might pick football, who's up for the draft, who could go either way as well.
I think your man Deledio was a very good cricketer as well, wasn't he?
Very good cricketer, very good bowler, unbelievably quick, just had this good action and played in all the young state teams as well, and then had to pick footy.
So it's funny, you get the guys that come through and play footy who are good at everything, who can do, and I hate to say this, but Brownie's a little bit of a smart aleck like that, like everything that he touches with. He's a good tennis player.
Yeah,
and
it's fair.
rare compliment for you, but then you get the people like a Matthew Richardson, who cannot do anything else.
Can't he?
Richo, by his own admission.
That's it. He's a footballer.
Nothing else. Can't swing a bat. How about you, Jaddy? Where do you sit? Because I see.
I liked my cricket, but I stopped playing. I played until I was 16. Took it seriously for a little while there, a couple of years.
Did you think that might have been an option?
Very briefly, but football was always the one for me.
Lot of people won't realise that Juddy was a premier skateboarder in his day.
Really?
The Juddy?
Very eager skateboarder in the younger days.
He was a big skateboarder, he was. Yeah. What about you, Das?
I'm pretty good at most things.
And humble.
Pretty exceptional.
You weren't great at the international rules game, were you? You'd be like Bambi over there.
Well, you tapped one through, didn't you?
Well, they talk about that as the Gaelic goal of the century.
I actually saw Alex Keith bowl a over in a semi-final, the Big Bash.
Yeah.
He went for 27, and I remember thinking at the time he should have a crack at 40, and he's made the right decision. Hey, tipping, I tell you what, Damo, you've rocketed off the bottom of the ladder, leaving me on 1, Hodgie 2, Juddy 2, Damo 2, Das 2, Brownie on 5. Brownie got an extra bonus point because he got the exact margin. So that means, Damo, you have to go first tonight.
No, I don't think it does.
It does, Damo.
This has been a problem all year. Adelaide 26.
Adelaide 26, Judge?
Adelaide by 12.
Adelaide 12.
Adelaide 27.
Oh. Adelaide by 6.
Okay, the Cats by 1.
Strategic.
See how we go. Now, we don't have, because we're about to go to the full team over there, which is Treaders and Roo and Ditz and Louie, but have you got a headline for us, Damo? I put you on the spot, but I always like the headline.
Do you want one?
I'd need
some help with the graphic designers and the sub-editors with this, but Eddie has had a big day.
Yep.
And I think Adelaide will win. I think the other Eddie will have a big night. Does that work somehow? Can we do something with that?
That's pretty poor.
Eddie squared.
That's pretty poor.
I thought Damo relieved to keep his job was where I was heading.
So we're off to dinner, Brownie. Have you got your small talk? Have you got the pet stuff ready? What's going to be your opening line when you see Beck Judd tonight?
Hey, Beck. I'm not a small talker.
Right.
Do you like animals, Beck?
Will your filter be well and truly up
to it? I've been to your house.
Will your filter be on though? Because often
certainly
it's not.
Certainly will be. I hope best behaviour.
This has got an awkward night written on
it. It's going to be alright.
Especially when we get drunk. Shut up. The footy's on
Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.